Once a sinner, far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his fold. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Though the world may sweep around me with her dazzle and her dreams, yet I envy not her vanities and pride. For my soul looks up to heaven where the golden sunlight gleams, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Not for all earth's golden millions would I leave this precious place. Though the tempter to persuade me oft has tried. For I'm safe in God's pavilion, in his love and grace. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. Opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side. Here the sun is always shining, here the sky is always bright. 'Tis no place for gloomy Christians to abide. For my soul is filled with music and my heart with great delight. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. And upon the streets of glory, when we reach the other shore, and have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory just outside my mansion's door. I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Sing it one more time. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me ring my Savior's praises far and wide. For I opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Glory, hallelujah. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace. life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken streams, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Oh, sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. One more time, here we go. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful promises of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your way, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Lead me to the end. Thy is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is one. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How important is the Word of God to you? How much do you read it when you're not here? You take some time every day to read God's Word? It says, this is the path. This shows the path. Thy Word is a path unto my feet, guide to me. It's so, so important, isn't it? We've had this lesson, some of it before, when we talked about God talking to the people in the Old Testament. You know, they didn't have much word was written down. They didn't have any written word at all to begin with. And God just spoke individually to people, spoke to groups of people out loud. Israel sounded like a great thunder to them or something. It's just, tell him not to talk anymore. Tell him not to talk anymore. Remember that way back? Yes, but in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. It was a spoken word, the spoken word. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad we've got the written word? That's what, because we're kind of forgetful, you know, and that way we have it written down. We can go there and look it up or even just start reading. I've been reading in 2 Kings again, just reminding me of the things that have been going on there. Just all of the things that we have because of God talking to us, God's word coming to us. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 1, verse 28, it says that God was talking to Adam and Eve, and it says, and God said unto them, I'd like to hear God speak it loud to me. He's spoken to my heart a lot of times, but his word is totally, totally what it's all about. His word expresses what he wants, what he desires from us. And it's so important. That's why we emphasize the Word of God here in this meeting. It's what we go by. It's the teaching. It's the doctrine. Everything is right here in this Word. I was just thanking the Lord as I was studying this lesson about how, you know, I looked up something and they said, well, they didn't know how long, the commentators, they said, we don't know how long that really, you know, whether that was really true or not. And I thought, God, You brought it all together and you preserved it, and this is what we're going by. And oh, I thank you for this word of God. Can you imagine living in the dark ages where you never saw a Bible? Where you never got to hear a real true message from God? Praise the Lord. We are so wonderfully gifted. We are so wonderfully blessed by God. Let's ask him to bless this word. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that you are our wonderful Lord, the Word. You are the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word, John 1 says. Jesus is the Logos of God. Oh, praise your holy name. Thank you for the Word of God. We pray you will enlighten us and give us renewed knowledge and renewed strength, Father. This is not a great, big, different kind of message, Father. This is the message of the Word of God, and we praise you for it and ask you to bless us in Jesus' holy name. I was just looking through the Bible, and there in Genesis 3:8, it says, the word of the Lord, he spoke to them there in the garden, and he would come every day, and he would just speak to them and fellowship with them. Isn't that something? But in that third chapter, it says, they heard his voice as he walked in the garden, and oh, they were hiding themselves because they had sinned. They had gone against what God had spoken. His word. They weren't standing for his word that he told them. Don't eat of this tree. You can have fruit from every tree there is, but don't eat of this one. But that's exactly what Satan tempted them to do, is to do something God said not to. Then after that circumstance, the first time we see him speaking to anyone, and I'm sure he probably did, but it isn't recorded, is in chapter 4, where he speaks to Cain. Cain had killed his brother, and God speaks to Cain. Why didn't he speak to Adam and Eve? Well, I'm sure he probably did, like I said, but the record shows, you know, God speaks when he desires to speak. He's not going to hold up and say, well, I'm not going to speak anymore. He speaks when it's his prerogative, when he wants to speak. Glory to God. And then the next record we have is Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abram. The Lord said to Abram. He said it. These are all verbal things to man, speaking out loud. Praise the Lord. We've heard God speak out loud through ministers, through the word of God being preached and taught, haven't we? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Then it was time for God's word to be written. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that his word was written. You know, we have record. People think that Moses was the writer of the first five books of the Bible. Well, how did he know about what happened in the beginning? In those days, they repeated their history all the time. They had even big poles that had different kinds of knobs or illustrations of something on this big pole, and they say, Adam and Eve lived in the garden. Go down to the next one. Go down to the next one. That's how they knew their heritage, what was believed. Would you like to have the word of God on a pole? Praise the Lord, he gave us the written word. But those first five books written down for us. And I thought about that, how God enabled Moses. You think, now God could have supernaturally given him that ability, but think about where he was raised. He was raised in the court of Pharaoh. He was educated in that thing, and God used him. God doesn't always do that. Sometimes he's picked disciples that were very, very ordinary people that didn't know very much, literally, but he enabled them, didn't he? Where they were bringing forth the word of God all over the world. Praise the Lord. And so time went on, didn't it? Notice then, let's turn to 2 Peter. And we're so thankful we have the written word for us to remind us, teach us. Here it tells us that the prophecy Now, the Bible is full of the prophecy of what's going to happen, what has happened, what's going to happen, the teaching of the word. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that is so wonderful that many of them wrote down what God gave them to say. And that's how we have it. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't you glad? I hope each of you are glad. And I do want to say this. Take time to read God's word during the week. I know how it goes. I'm a human being. I used to work a full-time job and come here and bring the word of God. Difficult. Went to school at night, too. Terrible. But God enabled me because I took time for the word. And that's what you and I need to do, is take time to read the word of God, because these prophecies didn't come by the will of man. This word of God didn't come just because somebody decided, I think I'll write a story. God inspired every single word. Hallelujah. And I got to looking through Psalm 119. I hope all of you know that Psalm 119 is a special psalm by King David. It's the longest psalm there is. And it is emphasizing the word of God in every verse. Now, he names it, he calls it by different titles. Sometimes he says the word, sometimes he calls it the law, sometimes he calls it the precepts, sometimes he says the judgments, the statutes, the commandments, and the testimonies, and others. But it's all the word of God, and it's a precious, precious chapter or psalm. It's a precious thing. In Psalm 105, we could turn there, but let's go ahead and go there. Psalm 105. Such a beautiful psalm about the word of God. Take some time sometime. If you haven't read it, take some time to read it. It'll take you a while. It's set up in the alphabet of the Hebrew language. Each segment, you see it in your Bible, is divided up. Man didn't just do that. The Holy Spirit did that by King David. He set it up in different groups according to the alphabet of the Israelis. All right, so this psalm in 105, which is such a beautiful verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Now, I'll ask you this question. If you never read the word of God, how can God's word be a light to your path? How can it be a lamp to your feet? You need to be reading the word of God and applying that word of God. Each of us needs to let that word of God work in us and change us so that we are truly led by the word of God. If it's not in the word of God, then it's not what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
And a lot of people make it up, you know. They have a lot of rules and bylaws, and this is what you have to do to belong to our church. But that doesn't mean anything, really. It only matters what the word of God says. And it's like a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. We can't see the way. We will stumble and fall if we don't have the word of God. Look in verse 9 of this psalm. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." In verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How do we know what God wants for our life? How do we know what sin is? The word of God tells us. It's a lamp unto our feet. It lights up the way. It shows us exactly what God wants. Praise the Lord. And as we hide this word in our heart, not like take my Bible and hide it somewhere in the house where I'm not finding it, nobody else is. I lose things a lot, so that wouldn't work for me at all. I probably wouldn't be able to find it. I have to pray the Lord help me find things, and he does. He's a miracle-working God. He does that. But no, we don't hide it that way. We hide it in our heart. We take it in and we apply it to our life. and we let it be real to us in our heart. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will just speak that word to you. I know you've experienced that. You'll be in a trial of some kind, and the Holy Spirit will just speak the word. It'll just come right to your mind. Isn't that precious? Notice in verse 114 of this psalm. 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. I hear God's promise repeated to me, and I have hope. I know he's heard my prayer, and he's going to answer me because his word states it. That word, we have hope, that is a Hebrew word which actually means my stay or my trust. Now, the word stay means that we're in a situation and he is protecting us and he's keeping us. He's watching over us. He's in our stay and he is our trust. Isn't that beautiful? Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10, Apostle Paul speaking about the Word of God. And he's actually quoting from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Let's see. He's talking about Moses in verse 5 that described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. So he's talking about the word of God that was written in the Old Testament. And then in verse 8, and what saith it? In other words, the word of God from the Old Testament. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. First, I think most of you know this, but the people of the New Testament, they had recordings of the Old Testament Word of God. But we've emphasized that before. If you wanted to bring your Bible to church, you'd have to have a wheelbarrow to carry it in, because there were scrolls for all of the different books, scrolls. And most people didn't have access to all those scrolls. The priests did, and, you know, even if you go to a Jewish synagogue, which I got to do one time, they have these big scrolls up there in this cabinet thing, and they take that scroll out and they wave it around because they're emphasizing this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. So how thankful we are that this verse of Scripture, the Word is nigh thee. If we talk about the littler word, it's very close to me. It's very close to you physically. I can open it up anytime I get ready. I'm not inhibited by any law so far to read the Word of God. I can read it, and yet a lot of us do neglect it. Sometimes I neglect it. I get so busy sometimes. I need to be less busy and more into the Word, and that's you and I all. Need to do more of that. So he says, the word is nigh thee, and thank God it was written down in this form so that we don't have to carry all those scrolls. Can you imagine how hard it would be to find a scripture unless you knew exactly where it was? You want to look up something in the Psalms? You'd have to start at Psalm 1 to find it. 150 of them, and a real long one in chapter 119. So how grateful we should be for the Word of God that is nigh us, and it's even in our mouth. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, the new creation life within us, that Word of God just comes out. We speak it to others. We encourage them by the Word of God. The Word of God is even in our mouth. Isn't that beautiful? And in our heart. That's the most important place this Word of God needs to be. If it's in our heart, it's going to be in our mind, in our mouth, in our actions, in our whole self, our whole body going according to the Word of God. That's so important, isn't it? So it's in our heart. And notice it's a word of faith. People use that phrase a lot. They'll say that they have a word of faith. They'll prophesy to somebody what they should do. I don't believe that this refers to that. I think that it means that in this word of God, as we read it, this word of God gives us faith. There's a word of faith in here, in this scripture, for every circumstance. I hope you've experienced that, that you would be in some trial or some test or need to know the will of God, and you're praying and seeking God, and suddenly a scripture comes to your mind that tells you what to do. I've experienced that, and it's a wonderful thing. I told you once about a move that we made to our Kansas City, Kansas, from New Mexico. We had a nice home there, and the Lord had blessed us. And my husband says, I feel like that we ought to move to our Kansas City, Kansas. Ooh, I didn't want to do that. I was tired of moving in my life. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was in there cooking a meal, breakfast. I remember it very, very emphatically, because I was really talking to the Lord about it. I didn't really want to move. And he spoke to me. His word came to me and spoke to me that I needed to do. I needed to be in subjection. And I remember I had this dream then that night. And I dreamed that I was standing on the top of a roof preaching in our Kansas City. My husband was the pastor. I was assistant pastor. But you know, the Lord was speaking to me, go and do this. These people need you there. Praise the Lord. So God is so good. He speaks to us, even in our heart. And it's a word of faith, and this is what we preach. Paul preached this message, we preach it. We preach this message that the Word of God is so important in everything to us. Glory to God. God is so good. Notice that Paul preached this word, the word of faith which we preach. Let's go down to verse 15 of this same chapter of Romans, 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, as it is written, speaking of the written word of God. See, that's what the New Testament believers, that's the word they had. And they based the revelations on the word of God. And so Paul says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, that they have, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you can gain faith in God at home, reading the word of God. But when you come to meeting, and the minister has prayed over what they're saying, going to say, and feel the power of the Holy Spirit leading as to what is to be said, you see, the hearing of the word of God is going to install faith in you. It's going to install that faith that you need. It's amazing to me that how the Lord meets our needs. I know you've experienced it. I have, sitting in a meeting where I had a need, and the minister, not knowing what my need was at all, is preaching, and that message comes to my mind and my heart, and I know that it's for me. Have you ever experienced that? That you knew what they were saying was for you? So faith, more faith. How do you get more faith? People say, I don't have any faith. I've had people say that when you try to deal with them about something. I don't have the faith. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that statement that you don't have any faith? How about getting into the Word? How about reading and studying the Word and really digging in there and seeing what God did for other people? God kept the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Amen. God did all of those miracles. We can read those words from the Word of God, and it gives us faith to stand and believe God for our situation. Our God is in control, folks. Our God is in control. We learn that through our life struggles. We learn it because every time we try to be in control, it's a big failure. But when we give it to the Lord, He controls everything, doesn't He? Praise the Lord. He works it all out for good for us, as the scripture says. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. I had a woman, I was going to quote that scripture to her, and she stamped her foot at me and said, "Don't say that again." Do you ever feel like that? Don't say that to me again. This is not going to work out. All right. So here we see Paul admonishing Timothy. He was a young minister. Brother is bringing these lessons in Timothy, and it's so precious. And here we see him admonishing Timothy to follow the Word of God. Here in verse 13, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." What did they have to read? What did I say? The Old Testament. And Paul's writings to them. And so that was what they would spend their time reading. And he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery," or the people, the elders. "Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Meditate. That's one of the most important words concerning the Word of God. Meditate on the Word. What does that mean? I looked that up, and it means to prayerfully reflect and think. You know, sometimes we read something and we think, "I don't understand that," or why did he say that? Well, the thing is just to cry out to the Lord and just say, "Lord, show me what you're meaning. Show me what you mean there." And He will give it to us. So the Word is very important, and we need to spend time with it, Paul is saying to Timothy, reading it, because what is it going to do? It's going to cause us to profit spiritually. Some people teach, you know, you do thus and thus for the Lord and you're going to be a millionaire. You give your money away to God and He's going to make sure you're going to get really lots of money. That's prosperity teaching that's in the world today. God doesn't do that necessarily. Once in a while you'll see someone has some money, but the profiting is spiritually. The profiting, meditating on the Word of God, is a spiritual thing. And then he says, "Take heed unto thyself." And that actually means to compare yourself. It's not good to compare yourself to somebody else. But compare what you are thinking and what you believe with what God's Word asks of you. Compare yourself. "And unto the doctrine." Take heed to the doctrine and compare yourself by it. Continue in them. Continue in the Word. "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, the word "save" there doesn't mean that just because you read the Word of God, somebody's going to get saved, like initial salvation. It means the word "delivery," to be delivered. And so this is what it means: to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. So what about if you meditate on the Word of God, even in your household? Maybe you're the one that is thinking about the Lord all day long, and as you're doing your work, and the Lord is blessing you with messages from other people, recorded or radio, whatever. You're listening to the Word of God all the time. Then you can be the one to be a blessing to other people in your household, even, that will cause them to have deliverance. Maybe cause them to come into light and be healed and preserved and do well and meant to make whole, to be made whole. That meaning of that word. Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2. And I know we've spent time in 1 Thessalonians. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm finding something in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But we're going to read one verse there again because it speaks of this word of God. What happens when we receive the word of God? And these Thessalonians, as I've said to you many times here, and I know you've heard it many times before, he was only there 3 weeks to teach them the word. I wonder how many of us could sit under the word for 3 weeks and be this yielded to God. It's just, I don't know about me. I mean, it's taken me all these years, you know, of study and everything. I know the word. I was taught the word as a child, but you know, the truth of the word. But to see these people grow so in Christ, read verse 13 of chapter 2. That you would walk worthy of God, pardon me, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You didn't just receive it as the word of men, but you received it as the word of God. That's very important. It's very important. A lot of people, when they listen to the sermon, there's not much word of God there. So they are really taken by the speaker, by how great the speaker is. They can really impress you with all their little stories and everything. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the Word of God speaking to our heart and receiving that Word of God, that word effectual work. That's really a beautiful thing. In the Greek, it means to be active, to be efficient, without wasting time or energy, able to do the work successfully as a person who is efficient. You ever been around a really efficient person? I have. An efficient person really gets things done. So what is the Word of God? It's efficient. The Word of God comes into our life and our heart, into our ears, hopefully. It comes into our heart and our mind, and it begins to do a work. A great work. Thank God for the work of the Word of God in our lives, changing us, constantly working and changing us. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. We have that verse. I think I'm going to not turn there because you know it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that verse has way more in it than you think. To study does not mean that you just get into the text and look up every word. That's not what that's meaning. It actually is a word, and I don't know why it was translated study, because it actually means to use speed, to make effort, to be prompt, earnest, to be diligent, and to labor. You know, if you really study God's word, it isn't just reading it. Studying God's word is to find out the meaning and compare scripture with scripture. All of those things that we do when we truly study the Word of God. He said we need to study the Word of God to show yourself approved. What does that mean? Because you can't present it to others if you don't know it. It's something that we need to really know. And he wants us to be witnesses. But we can't really do it when we don't know it and when we really don't have it in our heart. It has to be in here where we honor and love this Word of God as, I think it was David, more than my necessary food. I love the Word of God more than my necessary food. Praise the Lord. to show yourself approved. That means to be acceptable and tried. God is using this word to cause us to grow up in grace and knowledge of Christ. And this comes by our giving time to study. And Satan is so subtle, isn't he? I mean, everything else in the world can come up in one day. And we're tired and we get home from our jobs or whatever and, oh, just don't feel like studying, you know. Or in the day, we women that are at home, we can find more things to do. Just this and that and everything. Well, this has got to be done. But how about studying the Word of God? How about coming to the Word of God? It says a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This word is a toiler. Not just some little piddly thing that, you know, would you mind sweeping the floor? You know, don't be too inconvenienced, but just would you sweep the floor? It's not that kind of work. This is a worker that gets into the Word of God and teaches and wants to tell other people. This is a worker that he's talking about, a toiler. A laborer in the truth. Praise the Lord. And what benefits there is to become a laborer in the truth. Glory to God. I think I'm going to close at going to Hebrews 4, this beautiful verse about the Word of God. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:12. I hope this message entices us in our spirit to read the Word of God. I recommend, if you're fairly new at reading the Word of God, to read the book of John first. You know, you can read sometimes to get, I know people get mired down in Chronicles or somewhere like that, where, and he begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so. And then they think, oh, what's use? This is so boring. Well, it is kind of boring because we don't know those people, you know, though that's the Word of God, so we do love it. We love all the Word. But to go and just read and ask the Lord to show you what something means in the New Testament especially, and, you know, God will show you eventually everything in the Old Testament you need to know. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick, and this... it means that it is living. You know, if you say that something is quickened, you mean it's become alive. That's what that word means. So this Word of God is quick. It's living. It's lively. It does things. This Word of God works. It's a wonderful thing. And it's powerful. The Word is powerful. It's God's Word. That's why it's powerful. He's the one that has caused it to be written down for us. Praise the Lord. And results take place when we take in the Word of God. There's power to it. It begins to change us. And notice it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's like a sword that cuts. What is a two-edged sword? We've often said it cuts off the wrong and confirms the right. That's a two-edged sword. That's what a warrior uses. It's a two-edged sword. It confirms the right. God's word reveals all the sin and all the rebellion and whatever else we're trying to hide. And then he gives us strength by his word to overcome and walk on. So all things, the scripture says, are revealed before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Praise the Lord. Notice what it says, piercing. The Word of God is piercing. It goes down deep into us as we hear the Word of God being spoken even. It reaches through, is one translation of that, to reach through, where all the hidden things of the heart are revealed and made manifest by the light of the Word. Is that amazing? What power this Word has. Dividing asunder. It's a separation that takes place by the Word of God. The wrong things in our life are revealed. The good things are established and and built up by the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it reveals the thoughts and intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The person we're dealing with is the Word of God. He's the Logos of God. Praise the Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, I'm here to warn you today. I'm here to speak the truth of God's word. Now is the time to listen to the word of God. Now, right now, is the time to dedicate your life fully to God. Every bit. Every bit. The time is very short. Jesus Christ is going to come again. I expect him at any time. And I know many other believers are looking at the signs of the times right now and knowing that Jesus Christ is coming at any time. Praise the Lord. The prophecies are coming to pass. You better look up. One of these days, the overcomers in Christ in this age are going to hear that trumpet sound. It may be in the middle of the night when we're asleep, and suddenly we will be awakened and just fly away. Glory to God. Oh, I'm looking for that. Praise the Lord. So, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, are we fearful? Maybe we're not ready if we're fearful. We need to be ready. We need to seek after the Lord. And you know, his promise is that he will do it. He will do it. It's his responsibility. If we give ourselves to the Lord, he's going to do that work. He is going to help us to be ready. He sure will. So, if we're fearful and we look around and we see all this mayhem that the world is going through, and we could be fearful. We pray that that stuff will never come to our town or wherever we live. But praise the Lord, God's going to be with us. We're going to trust in him, aren't we? So what do you do to get ready? Get into God's word. Read God's word every day and pray along with it. Lord, I don't understand what this means. I know you can show me. Show me, Father. And he will. He's done it for all of his people. And he will again and again and again reveal. The word of God is our spiritual food. In the wilderness, the Israelites, God fed them with manna, which is like a little bready type stuff that he produced on the ground. And then he gave them meat. Quail meat, because they complained about the manna. We've got both, haven't we? We've got bread and we've got meat. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is our food, and we eat it and we grow by it. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song, and if you have a need and want to come up for prayer, do that. And I admonish you too to remember the prayers that need to be answered that we spoke about earlier. Just let's all remember and pray for one another.
Let's stand and worship the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I am dead to this world and its pleasures. With the Lord I have been crucified, but I'm also with him resurrected in the heavenlies. Now I abide. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day,
And the Lord come to catch us away. Face to face I shall see him in glory. With the trumpet shall sound that glad day. The race I am patiently running, I press toward the mark for the prize. I am looking for Jesus, my Savior, to appear that glad day in the sky. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away. Face to face I shall see him in glory. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, that glad day is swiftly approaching. When the bridegroom shall come for his own, face to face I shall see him in glory. I shall know him as now I am known. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away, face to face I shall see him in glory. When the trumpet shall sound that glad day.
Let's sing it again. Amen. Here we go.
When the trumpet shall sound that glad day, and the Lord comes to catch us away. Face to face I shall see him